book of Isaiah, chapter number 53 and verse number 10. And the title of our message this morning is Wounded for Me. And there's really one part of Isaiah 53:10 that I'm going to talk about. And really the most of my message is going to be on the substitutionary death of Christ. The substitutionary death of Christ. The verse says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." I want you to take note of the fact that the scripture says, shall make his soul an offering for sin. Understand, that's exactly what Jesus was doing on the cross. He was making his soul an offering for sin. You know, as you go throughout your life, if you're like me, you talk to a lot of different people and you go to a lot of different functions and listen to different things on the radio, maybe watch some things on the TV, and you're just around a lot of different people that has many different beliefs and understandings. And sometimes when I listen to what people have to say about the Scripture, particularly the Gospel, when I listen to that, when people are saying, I'm presenting to you the Gospel, and they're presenting something that isn't the Gospel, or they present something that technically is the Gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, they'll teach on the life of Christ. They'll teach on the love of Christ. And that's it. They offer Jesus to someone. You need to turn your life over to Jesus, they might say. For what reason? Why do people need to come to Jesus? You see, many times people will present something as the Gospel, and it is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But they never tell people why they need Jesus. They talk about the life of Jesus, but why did Jesus have to live? They may even talk about the death of Jesus. Well, why did Jesus have to die? Sometimes they may even talk about the resurrection. Why did Jesus have to be resurrected again? Some of those very important things of the Gospel, they leave out. And today I just want to share with you why. Why the Gospel? And we find it is because of what we find here. He shall make his soul an offering for sin. What we understand is that Jesus had to come, Jesus had to live, and Jesus had to die, and he had to be raised again the third day because of sin. The necessity of the Gospel is because of sin. And I want you to understand this. If you go to someone and you talk to them about the Gospel, you talk to them about Jesus, and you don't inform them that the reason that we need Jesus is because of sin. We have presented to them the truth, but we haven't presented to them the reason for the truth. Why would a lost sinner need to come to Jesus? Well, the reason they need to come to Jesus is because they have sinned against a holy God, and the wages of that sin is death. And they're going to perish because of their sin. The Scripture tells us, except you repent, you're going to perish. Unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to drop off into a Christless eternity. It doesn't matter what kind of knowledge you have of who Jesus is. It doesn't matter that if you know that Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible tells us that the devils believe and tremble. It doesn't matter that if you know that Jesus died again, or he died and he rose again for sinners. That doesn't even matter. You can know that and still not be saved. You can have all of the knowledge of all of the Gospel. But if you do not realize and you do not believe that He died for you, for your sins, in your place, and you accept the death of Christ as your death, you'll never be born again. You'll never be saved because Jesus, when He went to the cross, He was dying for me. When He went to the cross, He was wounded for me. When He took His last breath and He was separated from God, He did that because that is what I deserved. When He was buried in the grave, He did that because I deserved to be buried in the grave of hell. And when He was raised again the third day for our justification, He was raised again for me. My hope of life is not, it comes because of Jesus being raised again for me. You see, all that Jesus did on the cross, all that Jesus did in the grave, all that Jesus did when He was resurrected again, He did that for me because I was a sinner, because I deserved to die. He took my place. So the death of Christ is necessary because of sin. You see, if God wanted to express His love for us only, if He wanted to only wanted to do was express His love, then He could have done that with just filling us with blessings. But the offering of Jesus Christ and Jesus dying on the cross is more than expression of love. You see, people, when they try to present the gospel, they'll try to say, God loved you, that's the reason that you need to turn to Jesus. You need to turn to Jesus because God loves you. That's not the truth. I don't want to sound harsh. Let me put it this way. There's more to it than that. It's more than just God's love. God did something because He loved you. And what He did because He loved you is He did not allow you to stay in your sins. He did not allow you to stay underneath the penalty of your sins. He made His soul an offering for your sins. See, if all God wanted to do was express His love, He could have done that, but just by pouring blessings upon us, that would not be sufficient to pay the penalty of our sins. The offering of Jesus is more than an expression of love. It's a sacrifice because of sin. Let's remember this. God told Adam, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Isn't that what He told Adam? And what happened? How did God make a covering for Adam's sins? What had to take place? How was Adam's sin covered? God went, and the Bible says He took a coat of animal skins, and He covered man's sins, didn't He? When Adam sinned, we understand that animals had to die to cover Adam's sins. Death had to take place to cover Adam's sin. Here's what else we know from Romans 5:12. When Adam chose rebellion, Romans 5:12 says, "For by one man sins, death entered into the world, and death by sin." Here's what we know. Death passed upon all men because of Adam's sin. We're all going to die. We're all going to suffer because of the penalty of our sins. So when Jesus Christ died, we understand it is necessary because of sin, but we also know that it is an offering. Again, we see the animals had to die in order to cover sin. And it tells us, turn to the book of Leviticus chapter number 5 and verse number 17. It tells us there in Leviticus 5:17 that if a man has sinned, he has to make an offering. Leviticus chapter number 5, verse number 17, it says, "And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not," he didn't know he was sinning, but he sinned, "yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock. with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he hath erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. What had to take place was he had to bring forth a lamb without blemish, and the blemish had to die because of that man's sins. And when that lamb's blood was poured out, it would make atonement for that man's sin. Because of man's sin, the lamb had to die. The lamb's death took the place of that man. We learned in our adult men's Sunday school class this morning how that in the early days when God gave the law, a man sinned, he died. Early on, after God gave the commandment to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, a man went out and was gathering sticks. He was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. What was his punishment? Death. Achan, when they went up to fight the battle of Jericho, Achan coveted a Babylonian's garment and some gold and some silver, and he took them for his own. What was his punishment? Death. The wages of sin is death. And the only way to have sin covered is for something to make atonement for that sin. In this case, according to the law, the animal died because the man sinned. Now, we know this also as we study the Old Testament. I'm not going to try to find all the scriptures, but that was only a temporary atonement. You know that once a year the high priest went into the holies of holies and offered a sacrifice there, first for his own sins and then for the sins of his people, and their sins were rolled back for a year. Their sins were not completely covered. They were not, the judgment of God was not satisfied on the Day of Atonement. We'll see later on that was satisfied only in Jesus Christ. But we understand what the death of Christ is. It's substitutionary, and it's because of sin, and he was making his soul an offering for sin. Whose sin did he die for? His people. He died for the sins of his people. He made his soul an offering for the sins of his people. Let's look at Hebrews now, chapter number 7 and verse number 27. Here it will tell us what Christ has done. Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 27. Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 27. It says, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. What Jesus Christ did on the cross was he offered up his life as a sacrifice for men's sins. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus is dying for sins. See, we want to understand the essence of the gospel is the fact that men are sinners, and they need an offering, a sacrifice, because of that sin. And Jesus Christ became that sacrifice. He became that which satisfied the wrath of God on our behalf. He took our place on the cross when he suffered the wrath of God because of our sins. He was wounded in our place. So all we find in the Bible, we find that the Bible is written to express to us how that Jesus came to fulfill God's purpose. How he came to be the lamb slain because of sin. If you go back to Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 15, we'll not take the time to look there. But after man had sinned and he come before God and he said, we were naked and so we hid our faces from you. And then God begins to pronounce the judgment upon man because of sin. We know that he also talks to the serpent and he says, how that tells the serpent, you shall bruise his heel, but he'll crush your head. What he's talking about, that's the first time that the gospel is preached. There's going to come one that's over going to come sin's penalty, and he's going to overcome death, hell, and the grave. Jesus is that person that God is talking about in Genesis 3:15. The whole Bible, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, is expressing to us how Jesus can come and make his soul an offering for sin. And how that the plan and the purpose of God is being fulfilled in God making atonement for the sins of his people. Let's look in Revelation chapter number 13 and verse number 8. So man had sinned and broken the law of God and was guilty before God. And so God, in his love, provided a sacrifice. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. Here's what I want you to see. Of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God's offering of Jesus Christ upon the cross, not God having to make a plan because man sinned. It's not like God said, oh no, Adam sinned. What are we going to do now? No. Before God spoke this world into existence, from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. The plan of God was already established. God knew what was going to take place upon earth. He knew that Adam was going to sin, and he had already provided himself a lamb. Jesus Christ is the lamb slain. So in Genesis chapter number 3, we see the prophecy of Jesus Christ coming to crush the serpent's head. Now in the book of Revelation, we see that Jesus Christ was the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. From Genesis to Revelation, we see Jesus Christ being an offering for sin. Because of sin. Because man had transgressed the law of God. In showering us with gifts, a true expression of love. If you give everything you've got to someone, and say, you know, you've seen the movies on TV, right? And I can't remember the show I was watching or anything like that, but here was the basis of the story. Here was this young woman, and she was receiving all of these financial benefits. She was receiving a new home. And her bank account had thousands of dollars in it. Someone gave her a set of keys to a brand new car. I mean, all of this financial windfall was coming her way. She found out through some investigation who it was. Who it was that was giving her all this money was her father's greatest enemy. Her father was in business with this man. And this man had actually more or less stolen the business from her dad. And her dad ended up either committed suicide or going off the deep end because of the business transactions with this man. So this man's giving her all this gifts, and she says, oh no, if it's coming from you, I don't want it. I don't want it. Well, what she found out as she went along the way was the man that she thought was her father wasn't her father. The other guy was her dad. The rich guy, the one that was left, was her dad. He was her biological father. And he wanted to try to make restitution for all that was done wrong, all the time that he spent away from her, the years and years and years that he spent away from her. He wanted to try to buy her love. And he gave her everything that he had. Do you think she wanted it? No, because in her mind, he was not her father. Her father had died. The man that she thought her father was not really her father, but it was the man that raised her. My point is this. The man could give her all the financial things that he could, but was that love? No, that was not love. The one that she loved is the one that gave of himself for her. The one that sacrificed everything that he could for her. The one that truly loved her. My point is this. If God would just shower blessings upon us and keep on giving us good things and good things and good things and good things, is that a true expression of love? No. Because the scripture says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. The true expression of love comes when Jesus goes to the cross and dies in your place. See, even if God would have wanted to just shower us with all these blessings, that would not be a true expression of love. A true expression of love is sacrifice. Never forget that. A true expression of love is sacrifice. Young ladies, if a boy says he loves you, and he's trying to get you to do something that you should not do, that's not an expression of love. If he really loves you, he'll try to get you not to do those things. If he truly loves, he will sacrifice his own desires for you. If he truly loves you, he won't try to get you to do something that you know you shouldn't do. Vice versa. Boys, if a girl's trying to get you to do something that you know that you shouldn't do, if she truly loves you, she won't coerce you to do that thing because she will sacrifice her desires for your benefit. Love is sacrifice. Let's never forget that. You want to love, you want your family relationship to go well, you want your husband and wife, you want your relationship to go well, sacrifice of your own self and your own desires for the benefit of the other one, then your relationship will work a little bit better. Don't be so selfish. Anyway, I can't run chase that rabbit. And it's true. Sacrifice. Let's look at the book of Acts in chapter number 2. Just again to establish the fact that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and all that happened to Jesus happened according to the plan of God. In Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 23 says, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken Him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Why was Jesus crucified? Why was He slain? It was because it happened according to the determinate counsel and knowledge of God. It was according to the plan of God that God had established before He spoke this world into existence. Turn a couple of pages over to Acts 4, 27, 28. It says, For the truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. It all happened according to the plan of God. Why? Because Jesus Christ had established the fact that He was going to make His soul an offering for sin, and He was going to provide eternal life for people by dying for their sins, by taking their sin debt upon Himself and suffering the wrath of God on their behalf and suffering the penalty of their sin, which was death. He was going to make His soul, His life, His body, He was going to take our place on the cross. Substitutionary death of Jesus. 1 Peter 3:18 tells us that the death of Jesus Christ just for the unjust. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So we understand the just for the unjust. Jesus' death, the just, died in the place of the unjust. He suffered for their sin. He suffered their sin debt. He died in their place. So we understand the substitutionary death of Christ. Now, we also want to understand this. The substitutionary death of Christ makes an atonement, or makes the atonement. In other words, God says this, In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God says because of sin, death has to take place. So when Jesus Christ went to the cross and He suffered on the cross, Isaiah 53 also says this, He shall see the travail of His soul and be satisfied. When God saw the suffering of Jesus, when He heard those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When Jesus was separated from His Father for the first time, when He saw all of that suffering that took place, and He saw Jesus Christ willing to die in the place of His people, and willing to lay down His life so that they might live, one of the other things that Jesus says is, it is finished. God looked at the offering that Jesus Christ made and He said, I'll accept that sacrifice as satisfaction for my wrath because of sin. I will receive the death of my son instead of the death of my people. It makes atonement for sin. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 9. Let's read some verses here. Hebrews chapter number 9. We understand, first of all, as we read this, the offerings that were made in the tabernacle could not make those for whom they took place perfect or whole. Verse number 1 of Hebrews 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Notice this. That when he went in to make that offering, it was because of the sins of the people, because of the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as yet the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, here's the point, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. In other words, it was sufficient to roll back the sins of the people, but it was not sufficient enough for God to look and say, I'm satisfied. There was a purpose for the offerings in the tabernacle. It was to roll the people's sins back for the period of the year, but it could not make them perfect. It could not make them whole. So the next thing we see, Jesus Christ appeared in the presence of God for us for a reason, to put away sin. Look at verses 24 through 28. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Notice that, in our place. He was a substitute for us. Nor yet that he offered himself often as the high priest entered in the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The things that we see. He appeared before God in our place, representing us before God. Everything that we will see about the death of Christ is that it was substitutionary. He was taking our place. He was wounded for me. He was dying for me. He has risen for me. And one day he's coming for me. He did it all for me, all in my place. When he made his soul an offering for sin, he did it to put away sin. Not that sin would be rolled back for a period of a year, but to forever satisfy the judgment of God on behalf of my sin, so that my sin would be covered and my sin would be cast away into the sea of God's forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. My sins lay in the death of Christ because he became a sacrifice for me. Christ came because of the sins of many. again, you will see that everything about this is because of sin. The reason behind the gospel is because of sin. The reason that someone needs to come to Jesus is because of sin. Just like Jesus says to the Pharisees, they that are well need not a physician. Now, I don't know about you all, but the physician is not my favorite place in the world to go. Now, there are some people they like to go to the doctor, not me. I only want to go to the doctor when I have to. Sometimes I have to go kicking and screaming, right? I don't want to go to the doctor. And as long as I feel good, as long as I think I'm going to get over it, sometimes I might feel bad, but I'm going to say, I think I can get over this. You know, I think I can make it through. I'm not going to go to the doctor. I don't know why I feel that way, because most of the time when I go to the doctor, I start feeling better immediately thereafter, but I still don't want to go. I don't know what it is. But anyway, that's another point. But as long as I'm well, I don't need a doctor. You know, I love my doctor. He's a buddy of mine, you know. We coach ball together and stuff, but I like to see him at the ball field, and I like to see him out in the community, but I don't like to see him in his office because he's a doctor. They that are well need not a physician, but they that are sick, right? If I get sick enough, I'm going to go to the doctor, and then I'm going to do whatever he says. Well, it's the same way with sin. Why does anyone need a Savior? Why do they need Jesus? They don't unless they're a sinner. It's important for us to tell people the reason you need Jesus is because you've got sin in your life. Listen, I can stand up here and tell you about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ all day long, but if I don't tell you that the reason that you need to believe in Jesus Christ is because you've broken the law of God and you're a sinner before God and you're guilty before Him, and unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. Unless people know that they're sinners before God, they don't need a Savior. When did you call out on Jesus? I can tell you when I did. Whenever I recognized that I was a sinner. You know why your family members won't come to Christ? They don't need Him. They don't recognize they're sinners. They don't recognize they're guilty before God. So why would they want to come to church? What's there for me? Why would they want to come to Jesus? What's in it for them? Nothing. One of the things that's very important for us is to teach people, this is what's in it for you. You're a sinner, and redemption is there, and freedom, and life everlasting. That's what you find in Jesus Christ. One of the most important aspects of the gospel is we tell people that they're sinners, and they need a Savior. What's the outcome of the substitutionary death of Christ? Notice this, first of all, if you're looking there in Hebrews chapter number 9, in verse number 9, it tells us that the last part of that verse, that the offering in the tabernacle could not perfect because it pertained to the conscience. The Old Testament could not purge our conscience. It had limitations. It could cover our actions, but it could not get to our heart. What Jesus Christ did as He went to the cross and then He makes the offering, I'm going to give into you a new heart. You see, it makes us perfect because we're born again, and it gives us a new heart and it gives us a new life. Therefore, what it actually did, verse number 12 tells us, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place. What? Having obtained eternal redemption for us. That does not say He made eternal life possible for us. It's not what it says. He obtained eternal redemption for us. He went and paid the price, and He got it, and He brought it to us, and now it is our present possession. He obtained eternal redemption for us. He didn't just make it possible or plausible. He acquired it and brought it to us. And I want you to notice, it is not a temporary life. It is eternal life. And it is not that our sins are just covered, but that our sins are redeemed. The price that was due, our sin has been paid. And there is nothing, anyone, there's no way that we can be judged. That's why he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, because the debt for our sin has been paid. Redemption has been made. Notice verse number 14, it also says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Notice there it tells you, not only did he cover your actions, but he purged your conscience. He purged your heart. We understand, since the sacrifice for sin is entire, it works on the conscience. And it enables us, or stirs up within us, a desire to serve God. See, before you're saved, you don't want to serve God. You don't want to go to church. You don't care anything about religious stuff, because that's what it is to you. It's religious stuff. But when you come before God as guilty, you recognize that you're a hell-doomed and hell-deserving sinner. And then you recognize that on the cross, Jesus died for you. And when he took your place, he gave you life. Now, it's not religious stuff, but it's my way to honor him because of what he's done for me. It stirs up within me a desire to love him and a desire to serve him, because I truly recognize that I once was lost in sin, and Jesus redeemed me, and he has given me life. And so now it's not religious stuff, but I want to come to church and honor him with my praise. I want to come to church and honor God with my prayer. I want to come and honor him with my talents. I want to come and honor him with everything that I have, because I recognize it is he that has made me and not me myself. I understand that without him I am nothing, and it stirs in my heart love for him because I know what he's done for me. The reason that we desire to serve him is an understanding of our redemption. And the next thing that it says, of course, is that we receive an eternal inheritance. There are many benefits of the substitutionary death of Christ. In closing, I want us to understand the love of Christ is a very important truth. Because if God didn't love us, he wouldn't have sent his Son to die on a cross for our sins. It's true. But without Jesus coming to being a sacrifice for sins, if he would not have taken our place and died in our place, the wages of our sin that is still death would still be on our account. Death would still be on our account. But he died for us. And so God accepted his death for our death. And the life that we live, we have because God took the life of Christ and gave it to us. So Jesus took upon himself our sin and died, and he gave us his life and put his life in the place of our death. And it's all because he made himself an offering for sin. Because Jesus Christ, being the sacrifice for sin, which is the drawing card for us to come to Jesus, that is what will cause men to desire Jesus, is when they realize they are guilty and Jesus made himself and his soul an offering for sin. The substitutionary death of Christ. Never forget the significance of that. And never forget the fact that the gospel is not complete unless you understand. The gospel is because of sin. Because men are guilty. Jesus had to die. And he was raised again. for our justification. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we're thankful for the truth we find in your word. We're also thankful, Lord, that you brought it to us and made us willing in the day of your power. I pray today, dear Heavenly Father, that one that heard this message might have understood for the first time their guilt before you and their need to receive Jesus Christ's death as the payment for their sin. We thank you, Lord, for those that have already received that truth and now are living for you because of that truth. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to always honor you because of what you have done for us. In the name of your Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.